A Windy City Letdown. Another J. Michael bomb. Not a great game from Jokic, but we persevere. This is Locked On Nuggets.
You are Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Nuggets, your daily Denver Nuggets podcast. Thanks for making this your first listen each and every day and making us a part of your week. My name is Matt Moore. I'm the senior NBA writer for the Action Network and the Nuggets insider for 104.3 The Fan in Denver. He is Adam Mares, director of content for DNVR, thednvr.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam_Mares. On today's show, we'll break down the loss to the Bulls, the second half collapse, the bench being once again a dumpster fire, rotation changes, all sorts of stuff to talk about on this show. We'll be a little bit shorter today just because it was a pretty evident loss. There's not much to really like, not a super X's and O's breakdown-y type of game, but we will get you through it and get you set up as the week continues with the Nuggets playing again, I believe Wednesday versus the New Orleans Pelicans, as the 2 out of 3 prediction I had remains
still alive.
Very much alive. I want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code NBA or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. All right, Adam. So the Nuggets, they won the first stint with the starters. They technically did win the second stint with the starters because I checked, because it did not feel like it at the end. But the starters were a plus three in the second quarter. So they did their part in the second quarter. The third quarter they had the bad stretch, right? And so if the bench has, again, we've talked about this, right? If the bench has a good stretch in one of the two stints, they're probably in it. And then that fourth quarter where the Nuggets didn't really make any sort of difference with the starters, it doesn't feel like it's as over, and maybe that the outcome is different. But the bench had two bad stints, and that's all she wrote.
I'd go a little bit further too, Matt. I think part of it was the first stint for the bench was so bad that it was a buzzkill. I mean, because you're right. You almost have to tier this, right? You have the bench wins big. If they win any stint bid, it's like the Knicks game. All right, Denver's going to get a blowout. Jokic rest the fourth quarter. They win a little, they lose a little, they tie, whatever. But then you have the, like, you get blown out. I mean, Denver had a 10-point lead. It was a big lead. They lost it all in that stint. And it's like, okay, the wind's out of the sail.
Yeah, and we've seen this before, right? It's like there seems to be a tie. I don't think will admit this, but to me, there is an evident tie with the energy the starters play with when they come back in with a lead versus when they come back in with a – it's very much the energy that I have when I clean the house on Friday, and by Saturday morning, my kids have destroyed it.
I know this is the best metaphor you've ever used on this show. That is exactly what it's like. You clean the house, it takes forever. And the kids can destroy a house. People don't know this that don't have kids. Kids can destroy a house in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
Yep. And so then you come downstairs and you're just like, I just cleaned it. How did you do this? I left you alone for an hour while I went back to bed. What? How? And that's very much the energy. And then I just think I will say this. It is not realistic to expect the Nuggets starters to win all four of their stints.
Like, not against good teams. And I know Chicago is shorthanded, but they're a good team. Like they're smart. They play really, really good defense. Like you're not going to just dominate every single second you're out there with them.
Yeah. And I want to give you some props too with Chicago. And in terms of time has absolutely 100% vindicated your positions on Lonzo Ball as somebody that was not big on Lonzo for ever and ever. Now, like I will say, I don't think that I didn't see it. To me, it's like, no, like I assessed him as where he was, and then he got to this place that a lot of, honestly, Lakers fans had already put him. But he is phenomenal. I liked him last season. I talked about, like, you know, hey, he's become a really good spot-up shooter, and that's all you really need. He works perfectly on the Chicago team. His on-ball defense was really the gap that I had seen trouble with. He had problems with over-helping, and this season his rotations have been on point. He's disruptive on ball. He's disruptive off ball. Like, he's a top probably 10, 15 defender in the league. And amongst guards, he's probably top 8, top 5, maybe higher. He's been phenomenal. So you were right that Lonzo Ball wound up being a great NBA player.
He was really good tonight. I mean, he picked a good night to knock down his threes, and his defense was incredible. He disrupted everything. He turned stops into fast breaks, or at least got the ball up quickly. He did a lot of things that was really smart tonight. And to be honest, Chicago as a team did a lot of things that were smart tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, they really did. And Stephen Ngo, who's really smart and covers the Bulls, had some interesting like clips and analysis of like actually changes that Donovan made second half in terms of like some slight adjustments and how they covered Jokic. Like Jokic definitely was geared in on passing because they were sending doubles in the first half, and they adjusted the way that they were sending doubles and how often they were doubling second half. And Jokic was kind of caught out. Like he didn't seamlessly just like transition. Not to say that the loss is on him because it's on the bench. Like, it just is. That's what it is. You asked me this the other night, and I didn't give it like the full thought. By the way, Zeke Nnaji only took 1 3-pointer tonight, so good job protecting that field goal percentage, or that 3-point percentage. But you asked me this the other night, and you talked about this on the DMVR postgame show, which everyone can go on YouTube and look up DMVR and catch, or just go to Adam's Twitter page and check out the Losers Lounge. You asked the question of basically this is your premise, is that Vlatko Chanchar cannot be worse than Jamichael Green.
Correct.
And so he should play because Jamichael's been simply that bad.
My premise, let me just premise this. He can be worse. It just doesn't matter. Mm. Like if you're worse than what Jamichael Green has been, it doesn't make it. You lose by, you know, the bench minutes by 25 points instead of 22. Like it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. I think my concern is that I genuinely believe it could legitimately be worse. But then like I look at all the numbers, I'm like, man, I don't know. That's how bad it was. Like J-Mike being a minus 22 and 1037 is just unforgivable. And like, it's not all on him. And you talked about this. It's the combination. Like we saw the combination tonight, right?
Yeah.
Like, I talked about
this was all the bad stuff.
Yeah. It's like, I've talked about this about how like, well, look, you know, in order for Campazzo to be above, it's like, he's going to have to hit two threes. He didn't hit his threes tonight. Didn't hit any shots. Like that's part of it. You're going to need good minutes from Zeke Nnaji. Didn't get good minutes from Zeke Nnaji. Bones has to have a good game in most cases. Wasn't able to be able to play in the Knicks game, but in most cases, but Zeke made up for it, right? With a career high, no bonus tonight. So I'll get in the third segment. I want to talk about some options for correcting the issue and whether or not it's an issue that like they should be looking to correct or not.
Which is real quickly, the other wheel on that, cause I think I look at it threefold. It's Faku, it's Bones, and then it's Barton, and of course I'm already putting J Mike out because just to me I think Zeke Nnaji is a better option. But you know Faku does, you know, he's very up, very down. But Barton today was also really bad. Yeah. So usually it's like, hey, just make them not as bad, get some buckets, keep them afloat or whatever. And he was also really, really off. In particular, off with the bench. With the starters, he hit some threes and he did some stuff. But when he was sent to that bench unit and said, hey, helped him out, it was not a help.
It's so crazy. You know, I've said this for years that like each season is its own organism, right? Like the team turns into a different thing. Yeah, I was looking up J Mike and Faku's numbers last season, and like their net rating was like a plus 13. Like they were great. Wow. They were great last year together. And they were honestly worse without one another. And this year, just like you put them together and it's a minus 25 net rating on the season. And
a lot of this is, does J Mike make shots? I mean, one of my complaints I've had is that you've said this with Faku, but I think the same is true of J Mike, that he doesn't really provide you a lot of, he's not very dynamic. He's pick and pop. And this year he's not making any of his shots. So
yeah,
if he made them, would he be Zeke Nnaji? Probably. I mean, Zeke Nnaji has some weaknesses as well around, you know, different places, but
I still feel like
you gotta be able to make shots.
I just think it's really interesting to look at year over year. I will say, I do wonder how much last year he played with Paul Millsap, right? Like, I wonder if, whether it's
guarding anybody,
whether it's like a discernible thing or not. Like, I genuinely do wonder if it's just like, no, if you put Jamichael Green at five with this team, it can't work. Right. Like, I, because I am more reluctant than some Nuggets fans who make t-shirts and are graphic design artists and are on the DMVR postgame show.
Anybody under the bus.
Oh, I'm not throwing it. No, I love D-line. You know, I love D-line, but like, I'm not as like, I find myself like backed into this corner. Right. Cause everybody else in like Nuggets world, everybody else is like, J Mike's gonna go. And I just keep being like, he's got a career. Like I can't get past the idea that the career is more important than this 2 months. It's a quarter of the season he's been dog feces awful, right? Like Harrison made that point. I thought it was really salient. But I, for whatever reason, I like, help me get there. Help me disregard a career of J. Mike, because I recognize how bad it is. It's that bad, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, look, you got to perform. I think it was the point Harrison made today about, I think you have like seven guys who are just sort of, yeah, they're in the rotation. Like Monte can go through a slump. He's in the rotation, you know, whatever. Jeff Green could go through a slump, whatever. But I think there's other guys that it's like, hey, you need to give me something. And by the way, it's not just the 3-point. This is part of it. It's not just the 3-point shooting. The mistakes are part of what's such a killer with J. Mike this year. I mean, defensively mistakes, rebounding mistakes, fouling mistakes, you know, it's all of that stuff. So to me, I think he's outside that sort of tenure. I guess there's maybe like seven guys that are like, hey, you're our guys. And the rest of them are, hey, you're in a slump. We're going to give this guy a shot. And Austin Rivers is a great example of that, who was in the rotation to start and got benched for a while. Another opportunity came up and he played well. And it's like, hey, that's when you're a ninth best player on a team or lower. I think that's actually fair to say, look, if you don't play well over 10 games, you might get bumped for a little bit, and that's fine. Stay ready. You'll be back in before long.
Yeah, and also this, like, that's been his career too. Like, he's had stints everywhere he's been where he's gotten out of the rotation and then wound up back in, and then he makes big plays.
Right.
It's interesting. Let's go to break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the rest of the Nuggets and how the night unfolded on both ends of the floor. But first, I want to tell you about Prize Picks, because they are amazing. It's daily fantasy made easy. They got the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. They offer more NBA props than any other DFS operator, and they offer all superstar players as well as the bench players, recording only a handful of minutes each game. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. Users that deposit and use promo code NBA will receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. 100% instant deposit with promo code NBA. You pick 2 to 5 players and over under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on an entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. PrizePicks is safe, and they offer fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code NBA, or go to your app store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. Also want to tell you that today's show is brought to you by DirecTV. Does that sound familiar? You got one laptop up that's streaming from some weirdo site trying to catch the Nuggets game. You got another that's catching whatever your neighbors got up on whatever. You're streaming highlights on your iPad. You've got all these different devices. Why don't you just get your TV together and have one spot for all the good stuff? It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. No more juggling remotes. No need to buy another device. The best part, no annual contract. Get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Back here on Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for making this your first listen each and every day. Matt Moore and Mars with you. Breaking down the loss of the Bulls. I thought the defense was really good in that first half. I thought the starters' defense kind of lagged in the third a little bit. I understand they still won their minutes, but I mean, I guess this is a part of the thing. And Malone talked about this after the game, about how difficult it is because the standards for Jokic are so high.
Right.
And it's not just, it's also as like, as with that, it's not just Jokic. Jokic has the most pressure, but also those other guys, they can't drag down Jokic at all. Right. Or in a situation like tonight where his shot isn't going, you have to be able to carry him. And that's like a high bar against a very good defensive team. Like, there's just like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I feel like on this entire team right now because of the injury situation and where the rotation is at.
After the game, Monte Morris talked about how he was trying to get energy during halftime, tried to get him to do layup lines, this or that. And to me, it's an interesting sort of quote and interesting thought, because, you know, that is part of an 82 game season, is how do you stay motivated? How do you stay with a sense of urgency, but also a sense of enjoyment? And when I hear that, it makes me wonder, you know, the Nuggets road trips are hard. I know everybody kind of rolls their eyes because everybody goes to sleep in their bed and wakes up in their house and does all this stuff. And they're like, what do you mean it's a road trip? Go travel on the road with an NBA team. It's exhausting. It really is exhausting going from city to city. And these guys doing that, being away from their families and stuff, you're just irritable. I mean, this is a business trip. I'm sure they're all a little bit irritable here. And I do wonder, when I heard that quote, I do wonder, like, is this season fun? I mean, it's a question I'd love to ask Jokic at a practice. Are you having fun? Like, a scale of 1 to 10, what's the fun you're having in this season? Because I think that's honestly part of it, is this team just looks like they're going to work every game.
With where the team is at, how do you create that atmosphere is the thing I always wonder about, right? Because they're in that this area where it's like, we're going to make the playoffs.
Right.
Maybe hard, but we're going to make it, right? And that's what they play for, and that's where the excitement maybe. And the focus is.
Is that their, yeah, maybe is that their focus?
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, like, for us, that sounds right. Like, oh, we're going to make the playoffs, this or that. But I don't know if players think in those terms the way we sort of think about it.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe it's just like, it's just a job and they're just going out and it's just another game. I've thought about that a lot, you know.
I'm not even trying to go that far. I'm just saying, does a team look more like, hey, we're trying to win a championship, like, you know, forget everything else? Or I don't know what their motivation is, to be honest with you, on December 6th. I don't know what kind of thoughts.
Well, I mean, this is one of the things that I want to get into in the last segment, which is just like trying to assess, like, is the bar just too high?
Mm.
Because I maintain like a pretty high level that if they can just survive,
right,
they can do something. They can create those special moments. They can be a special team. I maintain that. But I also don't know if they've got it in them emotionally,
right,
to make it. Because the bar is so high at this point because of what's happened to them.
And that's part of what I'm wondering is, are they missing, not just when we think about missing players, you always think about it in talents. Like, they need a guy that can shoot the three or guard the point of attack or whatever. I just wonder if they're missing the guy that, like, gets everybody excited to be there. I wonder if there's a little bit of just the joy guy is missing.
Well, I think it's also like, there's these little stuff, right? Like, you know, remember that, like, that there was that game in Chicago where, like, we couldn't get anything going, and Jamal went out and scored 17 in the third, and we were all going crazy for him.
Right.
You know, or, you know, we were lifeless and didn't have anything. I remember when Mike hit 6 threes in that third quarter, right? Like,
you can even
those moments aren't there.
I would even go, like, you remember when Murray dribbled the ball around Lonzo and this or that? And just, like, sometimes Murray picks fights for no reason, but I think maybe it's a good thing. Like, you're like, a team needs somebody that picks fights on December 6th every now and then, when it's like, oh God, we're in a fight. Okay. It's a street fight tonight. We better all, you know, get our brass knuckles ready. And maybe they're just kind of missing that. When I heard Monte, you know, when I went back and watched the quote, that's kind of what I thought about was, I wonder if they're just missing the guy that sort of gets everybody beyond the job part of the task.
Yeah, I mean, I will also say, like, it sounds, these are the conversations that drive casual NBA fans, like, insane, right? Because they're like, do you have a chance to win a championship? Why is that not enough for you? And my answer is, like, it wasn't enough for, like, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, who admitted, like, they just didn't care about a lot of games before Christmas or even, like, January. Like, Paul Pierce would work himself into shape in January when the Celtics were contending. You know, like, guys still do that stuff.
Right.
I don't know how they pace it. This has gotten to be where, like, this is one of the reasons why I've shifted my opinion on the schedule as much as I have, which is, like, radical from where I was even 4 years ago in loving 82 games to where I'm at now. Cause I'm just like, it shouldn't be this, like, you shouldn't have to come up with contraptions in order to get through.
See, here's actually, it's funny. This actually, I really like this conversation, because here's why I actually like 82 games. Because I feel like the best part about basketball that gets a little bit pushed to the side is the whole process of it. And 82 games represents an incredible opportunity to become a very connected, cohesive team that has great chemistry. But this is the problem, one of the problems with the Nuggets right now. They're not really building towards anything. They're just surviving. The team that they're going to be at the end is completely different than the team they are now. And there are things they could have done tonight to build toward their final form. But there's not that many things they could have done. It's more just like survive this next month or survive this next game till Bones get back and then survive the next month till Jamal gets back or whatever it is. And that's where I think a little bit of this becomes hard for Denver.
Yeah, and I mean, the Bulls are a great contrast here, right? Because, like, they were down at the half, and they're down. They're without DeMar DeRozan. Now the Nuggets are without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter and PJ Dozier and Bones Highland and Austin Rivers. But, like, DeMar DeRozan has been arguably their most important player, if not Zach LaVine, and those two are honestly kind of, like, same level. Like, DDR has been amazing this year. But this Bulls team is building something, and you can feel in every game that they play the excitement and energy of what they're discovering about themselves. Like, Zach LaVine has wanted to be on a contributing. Zach LaVine has taken himself from an empty stats dude to, like, maybe this guy is first team, or not first team, but maybe this guy's like third team All-NBA. Right. Like, this is an all-star and one of the better guards in the league.
But also, right? You said it, they haven't had team success. None of these guys have, not Lonzo, not Brucevic, not Zach LaVine. So even when they are shorthanded, they're still building towards something. It's unknown to them. They've never been there. So it's like, yeah of course we have something. And I see Denver as a team that just looks like they don't have that at the moment. At least tonight.
Yeah, and like Ayo Dosunmu bringing energy. Tony Bradley never got an opportunity in any of his stops. Yeah. Like, he did not have chances in Utah or other places, and like, he's getting chances now because they're shorthanded. You know, Derek Jones Jr. honestly has been passed around. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. Their chemistry is really good, and they play for each other, and there's a real energy there. The Nuggets, I will say, like, they've had great chemistry so many years in a row. And, like, this is, like, an outside because we don't get to go in the locker room, right? And I do think that you need, like, to be in there to get a sense for how things feel.
Yeah.
Just the general sense of the team is it very much is, like, well, there's, like, the five guys that should be starting, and there's other guys that are there to help them win. And, like, Monte's essential, I think. Like, Monte's part of the culture, right? But who on the bench is, like, essential to the chemistry of that team?
Yeah, today especially. I mean, yeah, today especially.
Yeah, so
Davon Reed, part of maybe.
Yeah, like, I don't good know. Question.
He's as good a candidate as anybody. Yeah, it's tough. Are you worried at all about Jokic's wrist?
A little bit.
Had a heat pack on it or something today. I mean, he shot horribly, especially on shots we know he makes a lot of.
I don't know. Has he had, like, he's had monster shooting games since he came back, right? I'm not misremembering that.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, the Knicks game was pretty dominant, 14 of 19 or something like that.
So, I mean, I think
see him reaching for it. And tonight he was reaching for it a little bit.
It's probably going to be a lingering problem that will bother him from time to time, and that will just, like, slowly go away on its own.
Yeah.
That's, like, how those injuries tend to go.
Hopefully.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. I've got some questions for you, hard questions for you about the direction of the team for the rest of the season. We'll do that when we come back on Locked On. But first, it's holiday season. You know what goes great in a stocking? Built Bar. Delicious. Healthy. Covered in 100% chocolate. Stocked with protein. Built Bar. So many flavors. Raspberry. Mint brownie. My favorite's cherry. You got double chocolate, cookies and cream, or peanut butter brownie. Built Bar gives you that extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle all the holiday shoppers, as long as you're wearing a mask. Let's be cognizant of the variants, folks. Throw one in your jacket or purse, and you never know when you're going to need it. People are passionate about their favorite flavor. They'll fight for it. Things can get out of hand if you talk about it at your gatherings, though. So just have them ready in case people want them. You've got the Built Bar Puffs, which are light, fluffy, and marshmallow. You have all those. You can dip your Built Bar in a piping hot cup of cocoa. Let it melt a little bit. Delicious little treat for you there. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. That's Built.com. Promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Finally, we're brought to you by... Oh, what's the name of this podcast, Adam? What is the name... What is the name of this podcast? Is it Locked on Chiefs? Because I think it's Locked on Chiefs. I think that's what we're going to call this podcast today. If you had bet on the Kansas City Chiefs, you would have been a winner this last weekend at Bet Online, the absolute best place for you to find football action for the rest of the season, to get you covered for the team's march to the playoffs. I mean, most teams, many teams, maybe not Denver, but like some teams – are going to go to the playoffs, and you can get props, odds, and lines. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website and sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. We'll be right back on Locked On Nuggets. Final segment here on Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for making this part of your day. Thanks for making this your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. All right, Adam, I have a hard question for you. Is this team worth exploring trades for? And what I mean by that is no MPJ, more than likely. Like most probabilities result in no MPJ.
You're saying, like, is the season worth trying to, like, make a move for? I mean, to me, the answer is, of course, yes. You have Nikola Jokic. Like, you do anything. You just don't waste any seasons that you have this guy. Don't ever take for granted seasons you have for this guy. So, I mean,
okay.
Yeah, we've asked this one.
Even if the odds are low. And, like, because, like, this is a real question, right, of – is like there are divergent thoughts around this around the league in terms of, I think, from media folks. And like a few people I've talked to around the league have been like, they're just up against so much. You know, do you just regroup for the next year? Because the Warriors just honestly genuinely did this for 2 years. Like, they kind of tanked 2019-20. And then last year, they didn't tank. They just didn't fully go for it. And then this year, like, they went for it. They basically geared up for 2 years after the three-peat run.
I disagree. My whole thing is I disagree with what the Warriors did last year. Okay. The Warriors found a player in Jordan Poole who fits their system, and they never broke from that system. To me, this is the thing that is frustrating about the Denver Nuggets, and even a little bit about the roster construction, even though I think mostly it's been very good. You give Jokic a bunch of high IQ players that can get the ball popping, and it's just going to happen. And I don't know if the Nuggets have done that consistently. And now you look at it, and there's just a bunch of players that don't seem to know how to do that. And I think that's the thing with the Warriors is last year they did have a lot of players that didn't know how to do that, and people wanted them to change, and all the people figured them out. But guess what? It was like training camp for this season where now those guys are capable of doing this. Yeah, like even Andrew Wiggins is a guy that, like, last year spent the year really solidifying how to fit himself into that read and react system, and now he's able to take off. I think Denver has some of those guys, but not as many as I'd like.
Okay, all right, that's interesting. Do they have enough in the starting unit?
When everybody's healthy, yes.
Okay. Do they have enough if Murray's back but not MPJ?
Yes. Because okay. MPJ is an example of a player that's not necessarily great at that. He's very extremely talented, but
yeah. Okay. How many guys on the bench get it, you think?
The combination of both getting it and having, because like Faku gets it, but he doesn't have the talent to do it.
Yeah.
Not Austin Rivers, although I mean he's good. Again, he has some talent. It's not that he's a bad player.
No. I get you. I know. I totally agree. Because like. The stuff that you've commented on about him ball stopping, like, I've noticed more.
Right.
Like,
you're right. So I'm not sure. Monte Morris probably.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting question, right?
And Jeff Green eventually, if he were on the bench, but I think he's a starter in this scenario. So
yeah. Like the Bulls, I think, are gonna be a high level regular season team. And honestly, I think they've got a chance to be better in the playoffs than I initially thought. Like, I thought they were going to be a first round out. Now I'm like, they might make the second round. Like, they're pretty tough. I do think that there are ways that the playoffs will reveal weaknesses for them that are not going to be evident in the regular season. It's not just their scheme. It's some of their player stuff. But one of the things interesting about the Bulls, right, is they got Dosunmu and, like, Javonte Green. They have, like, young guys coming off the bench, like, giving them that energy too.
Right.
But with this Denver team, I do kind of wonder if, like, you look at it and you go all the way up and down, if you don't kind of come to the conclusion of they're missing, maybe two NBA players.
Right. I forgot, like, Bones. Bones, I think, is a guy that can do this, although he has some weaknesses as well, and he's a rookie, this or that. But I do think he has a very high basketball IQ.
I agree.
But you're right. You're right about the NBA players. I honestly think this is part of like, it's funny when you think about the Tim Conley, Arturas schism, like just the two guys and how they came together to create this incredible team, because Arturas is a former player. And I do wonder if there's a little bit of like, you just look at the team he put together and it looks to me from the outside, that's, I'm not surprised that's a team a former player put together.
Oh, that's a great take.
And same and by the way, same with James Jones in Phoenix, where it's like, all right, Jay Crowder, is he a great player? Like, if you just break him down by skills, you could be like, yeah, but he doesn't shoot the ball that well, and he doesn't do this. But it's like, yeah, but he knows what to do, and he knows where – he understands how a game goes. And Mikal Bridges, like, you could count the things he can or can't do, but it's like he's going to be able to play basketball with good players and not piss them off.
Right. Right, I agree with that. Yeah, there's – well, I also say this. Like, the Bulls don't have a personality, I think, on that team that – is in a position to really be that like frustrated, pissed off. Like, this is part of it is like with the Suns, you better know what you're doing or Chris is going to kill you.
Right. Right.
You know, and with the Bulls, I think it's easier because DeMar played with the Raptors and with young guys. And then with like a combination of young guys and veterans. And then he went to San Antonio.
And by the way, I think it would be different with DeMar if he wasn't sort of the team's best player or co-best player. Like, he's in a, I do wonder if it's different if he's with a guy that it's like, no, you have to cede to this guy. It's like, no, this is your team. You get to do more or less what you want. And you have players that can fit around you nicely.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, I think, if this is how you kind of approach it, then I guess the question is, how much are you willing to sacrifice draft picks in order to get an upgrade this season? Right. Cause there's no other alternative. Like, you can trade Jamichael and you could probably go get, like, I don't know, whatever position that you thought was valuable. You can go get a wing.
Do you think you can trade Jamichael Green?
I do, yeah.
Come.
Again, the GMs are going to, I think, are going to lean very heavily towards my direction of, he's got an NBA career. I've seen what he can do. He's having a rough season. He gets a fresh start here. You know?
If Denver could do that, I think they should, in large part just because I don't know that he fills a need. And this is part of it, is I don't know that it's like, you can say he's not going to be this bad forever, but even if he goes back to being what he was, it's just not the thing Denver needs the most right now. They have a Zeke Nagy, they have a Vlatko. You can say what you want about those guys, but it's just not, they're literally missing a small forward.
And he was also, like, we have to remember the context. Like, they got J Mike because Jeremy left.
Right. Yep.
Like,
yep.
He was the default. And then they replaced Jeremy with Aaron Gordon.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yep.
You know, and so that was, I mean, look, I'll be honest. Like, I was a little surprised when they retained him, not given the context of like everything that was said last season. And I will say, like, again, I do wonder if this is going to come around. Like, and you guys can, like, Dove, I think, mentioned this on the DMVR postgame show of just like, sit him down, let him reset. Right. Like, I actually think that probably helps, you know, just like get him time to get healthy, play Zeke more. And then when inevitably you have another injury and you need him to play, maybe he comes in. It's like, oh, you know what? Jamichael's playing a lot better. Like, he's really played badly at the start of the season, but he's playing really well now. Cause again, he did get, it would be one thing if Jamichael had been added last year and had never been good for Denver, you know, but we've seen Jamichael Green be successful on this team. We just haven't seen it this season at all. And that makes me a little bit, I'm a little bit wary of the idea that, like, that's it. You know, like the question has been decided. I think it's been decided for right now, because when you're a minus 23 in 10 minutes and it's not a shocking development or an outlier where I can just be like, ah, it's one game, right? It's one that we're like, this feels indicative.
A funny little thing to think about. Would the Clippers trade Hartenstein for J Mike?
No,
I know. And that's a bit of a problem.
Well,
the player you wouldn't play, who's now on a massively cheaper contract, can't be.
Yeah. But I also just think a lot of that is like, Isaiah has just been like, he's been great for them.
Yeah.
You know, and to be fair, I remember when Isaiah was here, I remember the net ratings were good, but the stints were all very bad. And it was like, the general sentiment was like, he'd been disappointing, you know? And so like, I don't know, maybe there's something to that. I don't know. But I mean, I still kind of maintain that I still, and I will say this, like, I do wonder if just a center would help everything, because even if you didn't have a small forward, but you had Jeff Green and J Mike and Aaron Gordon that could all play combo 3-4,
right?
At least you can flip those guys, and Zeke, honestly, you can flip those guys in and out, right? But it's just like, one of those guys has to play center.
I said this about Faku, and I say it also about J Mike, that I agree that he is playing worse than what he is right now. The bench unit is all weighing each other down and bringing out the worst in each other, especially with Bones and Austin Rivers out of the lineup right now for health and safety protocols. I do think that they're, even J Mike is better than what he has shown. But if you talk about how do you fix it, given the ingredients you have right now, to me, J Mike is one guy that I would absolutely pull from the rotation.
Is there a point where you would transition to, this isn't the year?
This is what?
This isn't the year.
Or
do you feel like
an injury to Yoke is the only thing. Like, this, here's the thing about this Nuggets team. I don't know that we're going to get the feel good Warriors 2016 season where they just crush and everything's great. But this Nuggets team is one that I feel like, if you just give me, I don't know what the minimum is, 4 weeks. If you give me 4 weeks of true momentum building, look, the Nuggets traded for Aaron Gordon last year, and 1 week into it, I was like, here we go. This is it. I still think a similar thing is possible with the Nuggets this year. Maybe it is when Murray comes back. I mean, if Murray came back and you gave me like a 6-game winning streak immediately where they looked like they did last year, then yeah, I'd be right back. I'd be like, okay, those bench problems, whatever. Bench's not going to play in the playoffs. Only going to need 8 guys anyway. You'd get right back there. So that's what, but sadly, this is the problem again with, as a fan, you feel a little bit in purgatory, but I think it's also a problem for the players, is they also know this.
Yeah.
5-game streak right now doesn't matter.
I'll also say this. Part of my entire construct of back in the Nuggets to win the title was based off of the idea that Jamal would not have to be a savior.
Right.
Like, I've maintained that I think Jamal comes back as one of the better success stories of an immediate, of like the initial return from injury, just based off of his work ethic, his game, honestly, because he's not a he's not Russell Westbrook. Right. But
think about this, Matt, because we keep talking about Murray elevating their ceiling, which is still true. Like, even the starting unit, I think it'll be like Phoenix, where they will run into a team that can make them do things they're not good at in a playoff series. But just think about this. Forget Murray, the starter. Could Murray save the bench? And is that good enough? At least in the regular season, if you just think like he's not going to be a star, but he plays 20 minutes a night off the bench, and he's now the lead ball handler alongside Bones and Zeke and J Mike. And now does that lineup work so where it's at zero, because the starters are going to win 9 out of 10 games? And maybe that means they win a lot of games in the final 6 weeks of the season.
Okay, I've done what I wanted to, which is I've positioned the conversation to where you are being the optimist to me. I felt like I've been way too much having to be the optimist to you, and I had to.
We're just in the purgatory, though, unfortunately. I honestly worry that that's where Jokic is, that's where the Nuggets are, is they just know. Wins and losses. They have to eat a lot of vegetables before they get, not even to the reward, till they get to the mystery box.
Yeah, we were talking about the 82 games thing. My thing is basically been that I don't want a drastic reduction in games, right? I'm not talking about cutting it to 40. The magic number in some NBA circles is 57. I even think that's too sharp. I find the reduction of the slog to be meaningful. And I will also say, like, part of me always keeps going back to what the bubble was like, where you just didn't have those teams where there was no point in the games. Like, that's a lot of it, you know? Because, I mean, honestly, this is the thing, is, like, the Nuggets lost the Magic.
Yeah.
That game, that even after the Bulls lost, you can say, like, they lost 2 of 3 or whatever. Like, that Magic game in particular holds no meaning. There's nothing to learn. It's just this event that occurred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Player empowerment has kind of ruined this, like, idealized version of 82 games, because like I said, it's all about coming together and this or that, and really it's just like, hey, no, if we get a super team, these games don't matter.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look, the Nets are
I know their season, you don't even hear like the Nets this or that. You look at their record, were they like 18-6 or something? And you're like, oh geez.
Yeah, but here's what's funny, they're undefeated versus teams under 500. That's what they're doing. They're 6-7 versus teams 500 or better. Chicago, as a comparison, is 9-4 versus teams 500 and better.
Like, but again, learning to beat or being consistently good enough to beat these bad teams is part of the battle, and that is part of the like being connected this or that, or it's just part of having enough superstars that it doesn't matter.
I think one of the problems, especially, and this is maybe our final thing on the way out, I can't look at the bench and go, if they just played differently, they'd be better.
Oh, right.
There were iterations of the Denver bench where we could say that. Like the Plumlee years were a good example.
Sure, totally.
You know, where I was like, especially this is one of the reasons why Monte was so essential for their development, yep. Was Monte came in and it was like, no, we're not going to do DHO. We're not posting up. Like, we're running pick and roll. Like, right, right. Monte and Plumlee are going to run pick and roll 15 times straight and kill the Clippers with it.
Right.
Right. And they just, this Nuggets bench cannot do what it was designed to do.
Which Matt, they had 5 points.
Yeah.
I mean, they had 10 points, but Vlatko and Marcus Howard made 5 of those in the final minutes. The rest of them had 5. 3 from Zeke Nagy. No, 2 from Zeke Nagy, 3 from Jamichael Green. How does that happen? It's so crazy.
I am prepared to eat crow and for Vlatko to be the to turn
he's not
this
the
around.
Savior. I just want to go out and say he's not the savior, but I do think he is I do think Bones, Barton, you know, you can put a combination out there. I even think the Faku Rivers, that to me is almost like situational.
Yeah.
Like one of those guys. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully Bones is back on Wednesday and we have some exciting things to talk about. Will you be excited if Bones plays on Wednesday?
I'm always excited when Bones plays. I like watching Bones. I'm more interested to see if the Nuggets can finally beat the Pelicans, who always seem to find like that they've just been this weird kryptonite. No Zion in this game, obviously, but the Pelicans have played a little bit better. So that's my only concern about missing my 2 and 3 prognostication, is that the Pelicans just always seem to be that team that it's the Pelicans and the Kings, the two random teams that always kind of seem to bite Denver.
Pelicans get 3 days off into this game, too. They didn't play tonight, did they? They did not.
Can we not talk about any more schedule stuff? I don't want to hear any more from Malone about how terrible it just seems like every single second he's upset about it. I'm like, and I keep wanting to be like, you're not going to say anything when your schedule is an absolute cake the last 2 months of the season. I get that it doesn't change how crappy it is now, but like, this is part of it. By the way, interesting note here. So like, there was all this kind of conversation of Denver losing all these really bad games, right? And the Magic loss was bad. No question. Yeah. Based off of the records right now, the Nuggets are 6-2 versus teams under 500. So what this kind of tells you is like some of these losses that looks bad, the Cavs loss is the one that stands out because we all expected the Cavs to be trash.
Yeah, but they're actually good, yeah.
And the Cavs are actually good.
Well, at least like, at the moment.
No, I will say like I also about the mirror teams that find out that they're not good. The Washington is a mirror team right now. Like it's like the Washington got to December and was like, we're the Wizards, crap, and are now back to being bad. The Cavs are like, no, we're good. Like we have Evan Mobley and Ricky Rubio and Darius Garland. We're good. We have an identity. JB Bickerstaff's coaching his ass off, as is Billy Donovan, as it was evidenced tonight. All right, it's going to wrap it up for Locked On Nuggets. Thanks for making this part of your day. Check out Adam's work at DNVR, thednvr.com. When's the list?
Tomorrow, 2:30. DNVR members.
Oh, boy. Oh boy.
Unfortunately, Matt, it's a list of the Knicks game and this game. So,
okay. All right. Lots of good Zeke content over at thednvr.com. Right. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Adam_Mars. You can follow me on Twitter at HBBasketball. Please hit us up on YouTube. That is the number one thing that you can do for us, is hit us up on YouTube. Go to YouTube, subscribe, and like the show. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you guys again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Nuggets.